Let's get back to How to Tour Italy on TalkZone.com. Once again, here's your host, Anthony Capozzoli.
Welcome back to the How to Tour Italy show. And with our new guest, Mr. Chris Cadietta, we'll be talking about some issues, what I'm calling the Pan-Euro segment. And Chris is going to join us today and lend his expertise on some of the political happenings with the museums and the historic sites throughout Italy. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Anthony. How are you?
Good, buddy. How are you?
I'm good, good.
Thanks for being on the show today, buddy. I appreciate it. My pleasure.
My pleasure.
We got a little bit of delay. You're probably on a cell phone?
I'm on Voice over IP.
Oh, okay. All right.
Technology is fantastic. You're in Paris, France.
I know. I thank you very much for calling in all the way from the wonderful city of Paris. I appreciate that. We're going to talk a little bit about today a new happening, specifically in Italy. And I understand Italy is going to try to reinvigorate their museums and artistic treasures if they need to be reinvigorated with a new government position. So I was wondering if you can kind of give the listeners a little bit of information about what's going on from that piece.
Yeah, so the topic that we're going to talk about this week is on Italy's museums and the Italian cultural ministry's decision to hire a man named Mario Resca for a position that they're calling mega manager, which basically entails his being the don or the boss of Italy's 464 museums. They're trying to centralize it, so Italy's 464 museums and monuments. And he's coming to reinvigorate them and to actually plug more into using Italy's cultural and artistic heritage into blending that in more with the Italian brand.
Sure, and from what I read the article, at least an article about this, and the gentleman taking over the position is formerly the vice president of McDonald's for Italy. Isn't that the case?
Yeah, so I understand, and that's actually creating a lot of, I suppose, jokes within Italian circles. With kind of tongue-in-cheek comments like Mick Caravaggio's, and things like that. However, you know, he does come in with a certain amount of branding experience, and he actually had a very interesting comment saying that he reinvigorated the Italian concept of slow food by bringing in the concept of fast food. So it's interesting to see the way that he spun that. However you put it, I think the Italian system, from my experience over there, I haven't mentioned to our listeners that I had the opportunity to live in Rome for about 8 years, and I've been there, been back over the years. So when I first arrived to Italy for a visit when I was 17, and I had fallen in love with it long before that, but you know, I was very knowledgeable about the sites and very excited to see places like Pompeii and very excited to see places like the Sistine Chapel and the Colosseum. And I have to say that my experience at the Colosseum when I was there was quite a turnoff, because as I looked down into the underground maze where they used to keep the animals and the gladiators just to come up on their elevators and whatnot, at the time, you know, that floorboard is gone now, but at the time, back just 20 years ago, it was overtrodden with dirt. I could see Coke bottles that looked like they had been there for 20 years, so it was filthy, and it actually was a turn-off of an experience. However, anyone that's been back there now understands that that's not how it is. So they've cleaned that up quite a bit. But from what I understand, when I was back to Pompeii the last time, which was only 2 or 3 years, it's still overtrodden, and it's just not a very good experience. And I feel that in terms of our cultural history that, you know, Italy is a part of, a very big part of, that I'm really excited to see them reinvigorated and make it into more of a better customer experience, as he calls it. Mr. Rusk calls it a customer experience, or a better cultural experience.
Well, that's great, because I think that needs to be done. I mean, one of the things I'm hoping that happens from this is they standardize the hours for the museums. I mean, if you're visiting Italy, every single museum in every single city has different days that they're open, times that they're open. It's very difficult to kind of plan and manage your day. I mean, you almost have to be an accountant to read through all of the times that things are open, the price that you have to pay to get in, whether or not you need a reservation, what line you have to stand in. So I'm hoping that he kind of optimizes that, and you think that'll be something that'll be one of his targets for all of the wonderful places throughout Italy to visit?
I mean, you touched on a great point, Anthony. That is something that they're, I would think that the basic things that they need to do would be stuff like that. So if you go to a place like, you know, things generally are closed on Mondays, but it would be good for them to actually create a single channel. And the way that I understand it, like the Italian tourism website has been under construction for the last 5 years because they can't seem to bring it together. But yeah, you serve on it. That's a great point, and that's something that they should definitely do. But I can't give you an answer if they would do that. But it does seem like a basic thing that he would be touching on.
Right, and that's in fact, I forgot to mention, Chris manages and owns a website, iKangaroo.com, and on there you can find lots of great information about different sites, not only in Italy but throughout Europe. And on there you can find information from lots of experts. I've written some pieces for, I'm not calling myself an expert, but I've contributed some content for iKangaroo.com. And on there you can find lots of good information about when things are open and some of the maybe lesser known or off the beaten path sites that you need to see. So why don't you talk a little bit about iKangaroo and how you were able to kind of harmonize technology with sightseeing?
Well, basically the point that you just talked about, and with the what you were talking about with Paul beforehand, with your story about hanging out in Siena and talking to somebody that hadn't seen any of the Vatican or whatnot, and had showed up in Siena probably on the, you know, the 15th of August or whatnot,
right,
or whatever, and you know, they're all of a sudden they're thinking that it was the greatest thing ever that they had shown up on a really crowded day. But you know, it's those little things that iKangaroo is trying to optimize in terms of it. With modern technology and all the information that's out there, it doesn't really make much sense for someone to show up to the Vatican on, for instance, the 26th of June, when that's St. Peter and Paul's Day. It's one of those, you know, random holidays that you get stuck with when you're in Italy. That's really crowded because you have people coming in from all over Italy to celebrate the holiday. And there are a lot of tourists there that'll stand in line, go to the Vatican museums, and they'll completely waste their day. So at iKangaroo, we recognize that that's a problem, and we want to help make people, or help people have a smoother trip. So those are the type of issues that we try to tackle. So with just accessing it and looking for, you know, Vatican museums days to be open and closed, you can save yourself a lot of hassle if you show up on, for instance, May 1st. Or, for instance, on November 1st. And those are just small details, but if you extrapolate out across Italy's, I don't know, 464 museums, and as you said before, they are closed at random times, you can save yourself a lot of time, which means that you're saving yourself money. So that's one of the things that we try to do with that. And also, you and I have talked, and you've got some great podcasts through Una Bella Vista and off your website. It does seem logical that you should be able to, you know, go to the Pantheon and not have to have a tour book that, you know, you have to lug around all over the place. You should be able to access your cell phone and possibly listen to your podcast about, you know, how the Colosseum or how the Pantheon was built the first time in 27 BC or 27 AD, or and then rebuilt under X, Y, and Z Emperor Hadrian, and then you know, the facade redone by Bernini, and then, you know, over at 11 o'clock, you can see Raphael's grave, and you know, right next to him, or at 9 o'clock, I'm making the Pantheon into a clock with the head altar being noon, and right next to him is Queen Margherita, who they named the Margherita Pizza after,
right.
And, you know, look down in the floor, and you can see the holes, so it does rain in the Pantheon, and when it does, the water goes out the floor. So we're just trying to actually geocode this information and make it to where we can distribute it and get it to travelers on their handheld devices.
Oh, that's great. And one of the things that on iKangaroo that I thoroughly enjoyed and used when I was in Rome this last time was your segment about where are the best places to get food around Campo di Fiore. And you give a little description about what you you recommend, but you have maps and that you post up there, so it's easy to find things. And you also do it for some of, I think it was the most famous assassinations and or deaths in Italy or Rome specifically. So those are some cool things that people can do with iKangaroo.com that I think a lot of guidebooks miss. So anyone heading over there, certainly visit iKangaroo.com and get your arms around some of the great maps and details and information made available. And then, like you said, you can load things up onto your iPod or dial them up on your mobile phone and listen as we need to get the most out of Italy.
that about sums it up. We're not quite there yet, but we do definitely have those, the digital maps that integrate in all of that technology, so you can just access a map and you can see. So, for instance, I was a tour guide in Rome for, I don't know, however many years, and everyone always wants to know where Julius Caesar was assassinated. And for whatever reason, and you and I have talked about this, Rome doesn't even have a plaque to commemorate, probably the most famous assassin in history, and, the importance of that, of the man that created the city that became the platform for, the later Roman Empire, which later became the platform for Christianity, and now surrounds the Vatican, which is worth God knows how much money, and creates X amount, however much travel to there. It would be nice to have something like that, and that's what I can do on a digital map that, for whatever reason, the city of Rome has chosen not to do for however many thousands of years, literally, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. And well, listen, Chris, I don't want to cut you short, buddy, but I'm running out of time. And but you are going to be back next week, and we'll have a whole new topic to discuss. And thank you so much for being on the show today, buddy.
My pleasure, and I'll talk to you next week from Rome.
That sounds good. We'll be on the phone. Have a great day.
All right. Bye, Anthony.
Bye-bye. That's all for this week's show. I'll be back next week at the same time. Don't forget to visit unabellavista.com or doyoulaveitaly.com. Next week, we'll be discussing the art of the great Bernini. We'll have the Vice President of Business Development from Venere.com, Karen McConan, and our dish will be pasta fagioli. Ciao.